This is Raja on the Magic Word Podcast.
And this is Jared on the Magic Word Podcast.
And together you are.
We are.
Jared and Raja. On the Magic Word Podcast.
There we go. Taking our lines.
And together we are, exactly.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we are continuing our series in the Las Vegas Chronicles as we go over to the warehouse where the illusions of Jarrett and Raja reside, and this just kind of down the road from the Orleans Hotel, which is where Magic Live is held. And when we recorded this podcast, it was during the month of February, just about a month before they opened their new show at Hooters Casino Hotel. It's a family-friendly show, and it kind of matches the direction of the marketing plan and strategy for Hooters of being more of a family-friendly type of destination, certainly. And so it's interesting how they came about in getting this opportunity. One of the main things that really kind of led to this had to do with their appearance on Shark Tank. Now, I've had an opportunity in the past to speak with a lot of magicians who have been on America's Got Talent, which really it should be America Has Talent, not America America has got, it just be, any should be America has talent, should be America's talent. America has, anyhow, it's bad grammar, bugs me. Anyhow, the idea is that I've talked with the guys already for those who have been on AGT and talk about their experience and how that they got on and what it's done for them and their reasons for being on there. In fact, recently, of course, we just had Nathan Burton, who discussed that, and there have been several others in the past you can find also with just a little searching here on the Magic Word Podcast website. Well, in this particular case, it's a little bit different because this is the first and only magicians I know of who have actually gone on to try to find some funding, some backers to invest in their Las Vegas show. Now, I remember a while back there was another gentleman who had tried to get someone to back him, I believe, on a balloon twisting or sculpting business or franchise that he was trying to get going. This was completely different in that, again, they're trying to find some backers and to explain to the sharks as well as to the viewing public what four-walling is and other aspects of what it's like to try to get a show on the strip. Anyhow, it was quite interesting, and they talk a lot about that. So we get into some interesting stories about how they prepared for that and, of course, actually during the filming of it as well. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm going to let you guys hear from them directly. But I also want you to hang around till the end because we're going to have the drawing for the winner from last week's contest, and that was for a copy of Nick Trost's Subtle Card Creations, Volume 3, and we've already drawn the first winners for the books, two winners for a book copy of the Volume Number 2. The Volume Number 1 had been sold out, so that wasn't available, so we started with Number 2 this week, then we draw for the winners for Number 3, and then we will have drawings in future weeks for 4, 5, and 6. So hang around for that. At the end of the podcast, give you information then also how it is that you can enter that contest for a chance to win. But for now, I think it's time that I introduce this week's guests. Please welcome Jarrett and Raja here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are here in the warehouse, a working warehouse over here for Jarrett and Raja, which is right down from the Orleans. We're still in New Orleans. We are in
Orleans.
That's right. We're over here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And welcome, guys. Hey, so that way you know your voice, first of all, Jarrett.
That's me.
That's
it's
what
Jarrett.
You sound like.
I do sound like that. Great to see you,
and
Scott.
And this is Raja. Scott, good to see you.
It's my pleasure. Yeah. I'm so glad to get here to be with you guys. And as we were just getting started, it was kind of funny because the mouse pad I have looks like a Ouija board.
Yes.
I mean, you were just saying that in an airport, that San Jose?
Or? In an airport, I couldn't believe it, and I actually had time between flights.
I think we flew to San Jose. I think it was San Jose.
It was San Jose?
Yeah, it was
well,
San
anyway,
Jose.
People don't know what we're talking about. So what it is there is a museum in the airport of Ouija boards. It's fascinating. I mean, for me, it was fascinating. Roger kept running by. I'm like, wait, come here. You're like, no, I don't have time for this.
The Ouija made me nervous. But no, the displays were fantastic. They're like, they're, what, 20 big Ouija
and
boards.
Historical and stuff about
it. Yeah,
it
was really fascinating.
And, different planchettes and all the kind of stuff that they use with that.
Exactly.
But as I was saying, it seems that the last place you would want to have a Ouija board, particularly museum, is
we'll be
an airport.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are we going to make it or not? Let's talk about that and bring them back because I may be one of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Funny. And so you guys are going to be starting here pretty soon in March, and I was just talking, actually, as we were getting into this, and I was lining up different interviews with guys, Robin Leach said, well, you got to talk with Jared and Raja. So he's one of your big fans, you know, and he hasn't even started the show yet. And so when you're going to be starting, I know it's like March 23rd-ish, is that right?
March 24th. Fourth
at the Hooters.
Opening. Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And the Hooters used to be the old
San Remo.
Okay.
Well,
that's
right.
Not even
and that's where Showgirls of Magic used to be.
Which is where that Bonnie the Bitch, that Steve Daly had worked and saw, yeah, because you
exactly.
got the still thing, yeah.
Exactly.
I remember that. You know, my son, when my son turned 21, that we came out to Vegas, you know, that was something he wanted to do. And,
yeah. Right.
And my wife said, you know, I think it's a father-son trip, you know, so we went out
yeah.
there. And that was one of the shows I think we went to see was the Showgirls of Magic,
right?
You know, kind
yeah.
of a show. Because
yeah.
I thought, okay, this is a place, you know, he's 21 now, and it wasn't this kind of show I thought that he was going to see. But it was a great
right.
show.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. It really was. And they've yeah. changed, actually, they still have the same showroom. I mean, they've changed it a bit, you know, and they've built it out mm-hmm. and all since it's become Hooters. But it's fun to go there and sort of remember what it used to be. A lot of the hotels are like that here in Vegas, you know, because as you've been here, as we have been here since 2000,
yeah.
so much has changed, you know,
mm-hmm.
changes all the time. But
well, I mean, it's just City Center alone, right? I mean, this Aria and
yeah, that all Cosmo, wasn't there.
That
yeah.
was not there.
Yeah, when
huge
I
huge project in the middle of the recession.
I remember, yeah,
perfectly
exactly.
timed.
Perfect time, yeah.
right.
Well, it's not a bad time because during a recession, you think that things are going to be cheap and you're going to be getting, you don't have to pay as much. You know, necessarily for the property and all that kind of thing, knowing that there's going to be this yeah. pendulum effect. And yeah. so when you're finished building, that's when the people are going to be coming. And obviously it has, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That
rebounded
was,
a lot.
That was nerve-wracking for a bit because, you know, Dubai World dropped out in the middle of it and it was this huge, where was the financing mm-hmm. going to come from? But they survived. They got through. They built it and now it's doing great.
Yeah.
And you guys have been out here for how long then?
Since 2000.
Okay.
So it's now a little over 16 years. So we arrived okay. at the end of 2000 from New York.
And how many shows were you in?
During that time period
yeah,
here in Vegas?
Yeah, here in Vegas,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, geez, wow. Several productions. Jubilee, of course. Mm-hmm. America's Got Talent Live. One Epic Night, most recently at the Plaza downtown. What else, Jared?
Well, there were a lot of, and then, you know, corporate shows that would go into certain mm-hmm. hotels and stuff around here. But our big thing is that, you know, when we got here, the odd thing about it is that what happened is we started doing international shows. You know, we came here, got fixed, started doing shows here, but then all of a sudden we were pulled to China. As
yeah. That's funny.
As anyone eventually yeah. does. But, you know, we come to yeah. Las yeah. Vegas.
But in the odd thing, like, actually when we got here, we, quote, unquote, got a gig
yeah.
right away
yeah.
at the Regent Hotel in Summerlin. And we literally walked in and said, hey, we're from New York. And we just got here.
Yeah.
And hi, we do magic and piano stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to perform here. Great. Okay. You start next week. And it was that kind of that simple.
And you thought, wow, anybody can work here.
It was seriously that simple. Of course, it was a Regent, but nonetheless.
But yeah, I got to say a little funny story here, though. Because coming from New York, you know, we're a family show. That's what we do and all. And we didn't know anything about casinos, you know, and about
mm-hmm.
the age and the laws and all that. But it didn't matter because the hotel was like, oh, come and do the show. You know, this will be great. So we promoted as a family show, and we started. I mean, our first performance we did, I'll never forget this. We start, and the audience comes in. They're sitting down there. It's a family audience. And right before we start, we notice that security starts walking in.
Mm-hmm.
And security starts taking children out of the audience.
They start
literally
escorting children.
Escorting children out of the audience.
And hence their parents.
And hence their parents.
Oh, the parents will follow the kids.
Yes.
Where are you going with my
kids? Exactly.
So our audience starts suddenly walking out before we even walk on stage. And we were just looking to like, did we do something?
and we realized that, you know, after what basically happened is that the showroom where we were, which was a very small space, was within, I believe it's 20 feet
a
or
certain
something.
Distance from the bar.
From the bar.
Oh, so it was the distance
right.
of the bar that made
right.
the difference, not
yeah.
being in the showroom.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when they escorted them, there wasn't room in the back.
No.
We were
in sort of a lounge area, which was in. Which obviously had close proximity to the bar, and nobody at the Regent really told us that.
That
well,
is weird.
So you're not going to have a family audience, even though you're a family show. Like, okay. So yeah, that was our first experience.
So how did you change that? I mean, did you move rooms? Or I mean, you came
no,
to
it
bar,
became
or?
A very limited run.
Oh. And then we went to China.
Thank you, good night.
Yes, it became a very exclusive, limited run.
Right.
And yeah. So that was our visit to Summerlin.
Yes.
So that's why that room was open, I guess.
That's, I suppose so.
So hence we came west to go east then.
Yeah. Well, if it would have been later, you could have gone over and worked at Macau, over at Franz's place.
Well, that's right. And which, later, you know, yeah. On that thread, actually, very soon after that, we got our first invitation to go to Happy Valley. In Shen, after doing the castle. Mm-hmm. So we did the castle in 2003, and then some bookers from Happy Valley were there. And Irene was, you know, bless her heart, was wonderful with them. And they said, mm-hmm. You really need to book Jared and Raja.
Yeah.
So, and sure enough, we went to Shenzhen. And it was kind of like, it was a good group. It was us. It was Darren Romeo. It was, who
Ayala, was it? John Armstrong.
Ayala, John Armstrong.
John was there.
It was really, and Goldfinger.
Have Jade.
And,
Andrew.
Andrew Hirsch.
Goldenhurst.
Goldenhurst, yes.
He's coming this weekend.
Love him.
He's going to be a guest at my house this weekend.
It was such a great, it was really a good energy, and it was a good show, and we had a lot of fun. Tiny and Ayala, that's right. That was a lot of fun. And that was, 10 days or something? But that kind of kicked off, really, quite honestly, the next 10 years of touring. And heavily in Asia, quite a bit in Europe, too. But that was our first experience, and that was a lot of fun. With, like I said, after coming to Las Vegas from New York.
You know, what's that like in touring with big illusions? I mean, it's one thing like for Rocco to carry a jacket's got big sleeves, but that you got the piano, man, and you got all this other kind of stuff. I mean,
absolutely, and we do have a lot of stuff, and you get. I mean, look, I worked and traveled with Harry Blackstone, really got to know what was going on.
You're one of the assistants in the box movers
exactly,
and all that. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I sort of had that as a, and I've always done illusions in my show, so I was very familiar with how to do that. So these international shows, we learned very quickly on what to bring, what we can bring, and also what issues that you have going through customs. Mm-hmm. We had situations where we would get there and our equipment was held up for 2 weeks because we were doing one gig there and it got held up and we're like, where's our equipment? What's going on? They finally realized that on the carnet that we had put down handcuffs.
Okay.
Handcuffs. Well, they were looking for the other set of handcuffs. They could only find one.
Why would you need two?
Because they,
it's plural.
When we say handcuff.
Oh, plural, not handcuff.
Right.
Wow, is that weird. Okay.
Isn't that strange?
Yes, that's a weird story.
So that held it up in customs for a while. But
yeah.
And so you
just realize you have to be very particular about things. We've had issues with swords and, strange things where they...
It's getting tougher to travel, I would think, with those kinds of things, even though that you're shipping them, in there. And, of course, even recently with the guns that, you can ship through, but then a guy went to the airport and he went down to the baggage claim and then he loaded up. And so you got to wonder what's happening with this.
Exactly.
So it's got to be tough, for a traveling illusionist with these
kinds of things. So even more so, I think, today, it's much harder. Yes.
Yeah, because our last international tour was really 2012. We got back from Singapore, and since then we've been determined to stay in Las Vegas, get something going here.
Because you don't want to travel. That's all.
It's
easier to be in one place.
We adore traveling. We adore flying and the whole adventure and seeing different places around the world. It's fun. We love it. We do it together. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to. We felt we were ready to get a gig here in Vegas. We were ready. We were so ready. We've done the traveling, and since then, of course, we've done a lot of TV, and the television's really, really helped. But we just said, okay, look, what's stopping us from doing this? I mean, we're certainly no worse than the next magician. So let's just continue to start the effort and start pushing. And so we started pushing. And part of that push was actually Shark Tank. And Shark Tank was an interesting story because it was literally my mechanic who told me one day, hey, I saw the show called Shark Tank. Have you watched it? I saw this act. It was really kind of cool. And, did you watch it? And my brain was going. And the drive home, I said to myself, oh, my God, I have got to get online and send a submission immediately. And I swear to God, I pulled in the garage, I went direct to my office, and I sent them the juiciest email, meaning I had all the best links to America's Got Talent and Masters of Illusion. I put our best stuff forward. You know, I really sent a good email with good links. And I knew that if it was going to go, it was because, you know, they wanted entertainment. But if it was not going to go, it's simply because they didn't want entertainment on a business type show.
Right.
And I sent that on a Friday morning, and Monday morning, I got a call from an 818 area code, and I knew. So was it awesome. It was really amazing to go.
Because I know people sometimes will take a year, 18 months, and they keep trying and trying, Yours was so unique.
Scott, the thing is, that's funny, is we seriously did not try. It's just we did the submission, and the producers called us and said, we want you guys. And they said, look, you are going to have to jump through some hoops with other producers on the show and Mark Burnett and all that.
Right.
But we want you. And it was really a matter of, okay, now what are you going to do and what are you thinking? You need to set up a pre-video for the producers and with a pitch, what your pitch would be, and we got to see how you guys are on camera. So, you know, for us, obviously, having no problem. We literally were in a warehouse right here, literally right there, and set up lights and cameras and shot it ourselves. And it was a good, fun process. But being on that show and having it aired did more for us than anything we've ever done before.
Did you go in there full well hoping that you would get one of them to back you, or was it more of a kind of a thing where... Because I watch Shark Tank all the time. My younger son, Nick, was the one who first turned me onto that, and we watch it every week now, too. But I know a lot of people go on, and they ask for too much, and they say that you've overvalued it, et cetera. But it's like, hey, ma'am, you know, my wife is sitting there going to their website, say, I can order some of these slippers, you know, or something that they're offering.
Honestly, we did it really primarily for the exposure.
Well, that's not quite true. I mean, you say that, but then again,
well, we wanted.
Of course. Yeah, but you're like,
it would have been nice.
You're a Taurus, and so you're much more like go-getter that way.
Right. Right.
And so you see, the thing is, we always said, look, the bottom line, it is obviously for the exposure. That would be great to do that, but you know, we do have a show that we want to fund and bring here to Las Vegas, which was the sort of the nucleus of everything that we were trying to do. But I also knew that, look, if we got this far, we're going to do this. For me, it really was like, we got the exposure, it's done. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm saying that Rogers was much more got sucked into it is because I think you have a good business sense too, you know. But and with figures, because you got to have all that down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just walking on there. You've got to know everything, and not just that, but you know, it's an hour basically that you're in front of them. You're not there for 7 minutes, you are educating the sharks on everything, and you're giving them because they know nothing.
In particular about entertainment. This was a very unique kind of thing.
The whole four-wall deal
entertainment
situation that
in Las Vegas.
About.
Yeah. That's like the big thing was that. What's that like? And we're giving them spreadsheets. And we're giving them, you know, statistics and all that, which...
Did you have an accountant or an attorney or somebody who did all this before you?
We went through all of that and stuff. But my point of all this is that when we finished taping, we finished and we just walked out of the room and the doors closed and we did not get a deal.
Yeah.
I looked over at Roger's face and he looked completely just... beaten, like he was just beaten. And
his really? Look,
yeah,
I looked at that.
Yeah, and you were like,
I was just like, stressed out because of the keyboard.
You were like, you were just no. You were beaten, and I just looked at you and I said, and I smiled and I said, you have no idea how great this was for us. And that's teamwork.
Because
I saw in his face that he didn't see at that point the big picture.
Yeah.
You know where I saw that. Now that's the Sagittarian in me. And you're the Taurus.
You know, Scott, what happened during the process of the Shark Tank thing, because it took about 9 months, you know, to finally get two Sony pictures in L.A. to shoot. That was September. Mm-hmm. We shot in September.
Because they probably just do this all in one after the other. Get them all lined up and people are waiting out there like America's Literally. Got Talent.
Yeah,
kind of
exactly,
thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they shot, I think, the whole season in 2 weeks. Exactly. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? I was going to talking about the... the pro formas, the financials, right. As the project went on, it did become very real because they did need a venue. Mm-hmm. They did need number of seats, a pro forma. That mm-hmm. They needed all that. And so it had to be, it can't just be this, oh, we're going to go into a theater in Las Vegas. It had to become a theater, which one? And so we did identify a theater here, which meant us talking to an agent who had a connection at the company, you know, the corporate, you know, so it became this big animal. Which
and they had to leave that theater open for a period of time, probably, because that was where you were going to try to
book. And that, right, and luckily at that period mm-hmm. of time, that particular hotel chain company had the theater available, and we actually were speaking to the head of the whole thing, and we were in consideration. So we used that theater, which was 1,600 seats, as our model for the pro forma. Mm-hmm. So we prepared everything. It was a complete spreadsheet and financials, and I worked with our accountants in making things very, very realistic, you know, developing scenarios for 25% attendance, 50% attendance, 80% attendance, you know. We learned a lot, though, and actually I think we are here today doing the Hooters thing, mm-hmm. Really ironically, better prepared doing this now.
Because you've already done
your
footwork.
Because we did it, mm-hmm. Scott. And yeah. we had to do it for real. And we had to present to five sharks. You know how scary that is for two artists?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, it was nerve-wracking. And when we went on, we seriously, before we walked down that hallway, just said to each other, dude, wow. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, let's just do the best we can.
What if you would have come away with the deal? You know, it's almost like, well, now what do we do?
Exactly. Now what do we do?
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, it was almost a blessing in disguise because, you know, exactly. It's you know, things, I do believe as long as you try, you keep pushing and persisting for your goal and stuff, things happen for a reason. You mm-hmm. know, they do fall into place. They do. And, you know, and that, the thing about Shark Tank is, wouldn't you know, after it aired, of course, what happened is we got a call from a producer.
How much longer? I mean, like within a week?
No. It was about 2 months, right?
2-3 months.
Okay.
Two months. And the irony of it is the producer that called had a show that he was producing here in Vegas that was very similar to the concept of the show that we were pitching.
So it met his vision.
And Frank DiMaggio was his name, and he had this vision, and he said, I want to bring you guys in to make the vision that I have, you know, which is very much like yours, complete. And that was the show that we did at the Plaza that we mm-hmm. went in and did. And it was a very cool show, a mix of music and us hosting and doing the show. I mean, they had singers from The Voice, Megan Ruger. Mm-hmm. There's Will Champlin.
American Idol. But, you know, I want to tell you a fun story about the Shark Tank shooting because it rocked my world and completely affected my performance on the show. Now, of course, this is Roger, the keyboard player. We built this aquarium piano. Mm-hmm. Piano mm-hmm.
with water and fish.
Water yeah. and the whole thing. We mm-hmm. thought it'd be perfect for Shark Tank. Originally, the vision was putting sharks in there, but they've done that before, and sharks didn't exactly survive. So they said, "Nope, we don't want that happen again." Okay. So we scratched the shark idea.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a piano, so I had to fit my keyboard into the quote instrument.
Yes.
But the guys at Tanked, the TV show Tanked, they're the ones that built this piano, mm-hmm. you know. And we went there, and the prop was not finished. Until the night before the shoot,
That didn't cause you any anxiety, did it?
I mean, you think? So you can imagine, we haven't rehearsed with a prop.
Exactly.
We haven't put my keyboard with the electricity
yeah,
in
with
this
the water.
Water-filled tank.
Nothing can go wrong here, right?
Right.
So literally, they said that we had to check in the soundstage at 6 p.m. on a Friday night.
Yeah.
We were shooting on Saturday morning.
Okay.
So 6 p.m. Friday, are you kidding me? We were still tanked.
Yeah.
They were still completing the prop.
We didn't leave till 9.
And we didn't leave till 9 p.m. for L.A. We got there around, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and our producer's freaking out. Like, guys, you guys are the most complicated act. We need you on stage to, set everything. Sorry. So anyhow, we find next morning, we get up early, and we set up the piano, and they're having the warm water.
I was going to say, you got to fill it up, and that takes a while.
Exactly. Well, you know, of course, we're hoping that the tank actually holds
water. I mean, we did a rehearsal with that the day before, you know, just so we know that.
Rehearsal? There's no rehearsal.
With the filling of the water.
We checked to see if the tank was in a leak.
Right.
That is not comprised of.
Just seal properly.
Right.
It's not a rehearsal.
It's not a rehearsal.
That's it.
So what happened, though, and this is a long story short, is literally 5 minutes, around 5 minutes before the Sharks were walking on set at 1 p.m. that Saturday, my keyboard was being placed into the prop, and we'd never done it. So when we started putting things inside the tank, the water overflowed, and everything went into my keyboard. And my keyboard, we had to turn the keyboard on its side to literally drain the water out of the keyboard. And this is 5 minutes, I'm not kidding you, but there's no exaggeration, before the Sharks were walking in. And I'm saying to the producer, I don't know if my keyboard's going to work, because, you know, all we get is just simply walking down the hallway, doing our pitch, me going to the piano, and starting to play.
And then they're like, they look to Roger, and they go, okay, we need you both to come with us now to do the walk. Let's go.
The walk. Okay, so you got to explain what a walk
gotta,
okay, is.
Practice the walk.
We got to practice the walk. We got to, you know, do that. So, of course, I looked to Roger, and I said, Roger, you deal with your issue. I'll do the walk.
And so, when he says walk, there's a whole system of places you go backstage, and they tell you where you go after the shoot, you know, little area, they interview, that sort of thing.
Right.
They were telling everyone what to do and where to go. It was very, very important information to have.
Of course it was. Now, were you being taught this en masse with all the other people?
Yes.
It wasn't like individual. You do it, then you do it.
Okay. All en masse. Okay. So like probably 40 of us, 35,
okay.
30 of us.
Okay.
He could go. I couldn't go because I had to deal with this emergency.
Sure.
And, I mean, I was in costume. I was dressed up, makeup on, but I was dealing with this emergency, and I just didn't know if my keyboard was going to work when I touched the keyboard. So when we actually were at the front, about to go down that hallway, I remember I think I had to go to the bathroom. I needed some water because I didn't have time.
Yeah.
You know, I was dealing with this emergency, and the sound department was freaking out because they're like, oh my God, the electricity and all these cords.
Sure.
So it was just doing that pitch was just harrowing because I did not know when I walked over to the piano if my keyboard was going to work. And that's it. That's it. I mean, we knew that if we screw up the act, there is nothing going to save us.
They're not going to, right.
But
you don't get a penny for sure.
No.
You know, and again, being the evil, even keeled one here, at the end of the day, I knew that we were going to pull it all together. And
I
knew that.
This isn't real magic, okay? This is electronics.
I knew this because, no, what I'm trying to say is our experience with America's Got Talent, which was a really good run that we did that gave us one of the greatest learning curves. Of knowing how, it's completely different than just doing a live show, you know, performing for an audience or whatever, because of the extra element of time, TV time, and people racing and rushing around you. And it's, when we did America's Got Talent, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You only had one rehearsal, and then you went the next, you know, when your time was up, it was like, go, you know, in front of 20 million people. And you have got to, no matter what happens, you have got to just have, as you say, blind faith, and you have to make that happen. I knew that
water
that was going to work.
Water in an electric keyboard isn't exactly, that's just different.
Yes.
It's a whole new level of stress.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it's
anyhow,
it's
long story
thing.
Short, when I went to the piano, and God bless Yamaha keyboards, it played. It's, you know, and that's great. So that worked, and that was the stressful experience we had. But, you know, again, I mean, not to make long story short, but the experience of being on the show and being in front of the Sharks for an hour was actually very comfortable. They were really nice.
They made you feel comfortable. Because when you watch you think they're really biting.
But
it was
awesome. They were so relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, every one of them, even Kevin, even Mark, they were so relaxed, and we got relaxed to the point where we almost let our guard down. Mm-hmm. You know, very easy for that to happen because you get so relaxed after an hour. You'll say anything, you know.
Yeah.
But
you think it's part of their tactic?
I think it is.
Maybe.
I think it is.
Cut all around. You know, they'll take snippets of this.
Especially how many cameras they're shooting. I mean, they have what, four cameras or something?
Oh no, there's 10 cameras.
Ten cameras,
and you don't see them, which is great. And I think that's done on purpose so that you don't get nervous by them because it's just
dark. You get all these candid shots. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And the way that room is configured. You know, it's the cameras sort of are
stage
an
left.
L, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to straight on.
Oh, okay.
You know, mm-hmm. Because it's an odd room, the way that they...
And so after it was over, they're shaking hands and say, you know, good luck or whatever. Right, yeah, did they say, well, you know, you had a good pitch, or they, you know, maybe that if you would have done something else, or I mean, did you learn something from that, or they?
You want to tell a story in the parking lot?
Yes. Well, actually, I'm going to say something before that because okay. that'll help boost that.
Yeah, got it. Can I tell us a personal story?
Yeah, you can do
cool,
the
cool.
So afterwards. We do our, you know, I told you about how I looked at Roger as we were walking down, and I gave him a little, I was like, no, you have no idea what that's going to do for us. And the next thing is to go into another area to be shot. Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling? You know what I mean? With your producer.
Yeah.
And so we went over there, and of course, and what they do is they take a snippet of that and they show it at the end. And it was great. I got Roger back up to feeling good, and we you know, said, you know, this was really great, and you know, it was a good experience, and we're going to keep going, and the whole thing. And then we go back to the dressing rooms, and we're in the dressing room, and all of a sudden we hear,
oh gosh, I forgot about this.
And the door opens up, uh-huh. and one of the tech ladies comes in, and she goes, we have the therapist here, the psychotherapist, if you just have a few moments with her.
Wow.
And we didn't realize this, and in walked a therapist, and they closed the door, and she sat down. And Raja, of course, was like, what's this? And I was like, it's the psychiatrist. We had an interview with her saying, so how do you feel?
Oh, my God, it was horrible. All I wanted to do, Scott, was talk to Jared about the experience, right? Yeah. You just had this massive experience. Yeah. You just want to talk. You want to say, oh, my God, I was thinking this. Oh, my God, I was thinking this.
I don't want to talk to this person.
Right. I don't want this shrink in here analyzing your brain. I'm like, girl, please leave. This is horrible.
Oh, God.
And so, she just stayed.
And, of course, I was having fun.
Of course, you.
And I was like, so it was coffee talk for me. Yeah, and he's just like, his nails are coming out.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So, you know, but,
twiddling my thumbs.
But, you know, you got to understand that most of the people on that show are not in show business. And don't know, you know, right. about all that.
It's their first time for a big audience. Or,
and it can be traumatic.
I would imagine so.
And I can imagine, especially if they don't get a deal. And all of this... you know, that they have, and this emotion probably comes out, and it's a big thing.
And all the time it's taken for them to get there, and then it's like, oh, right. such a letdown.
So exactly.
I hadn't thought about that they yeah. probably do need
and
a therapist.
And I think it's great.
It's like, can we meet again? You know, right. they want to exactly. schedule
can
another
I get your
appointment.
Card?
Yeah.
Exactly. Call you. Yeah.
Here's my card. So, you know, so that was that, and then we finished when she left and stuff. So anyway, we cleaned up, and then we went out into the parking lot.
Yes, and we were loading the truck, of course, the glamorous part of what we do.
Yeah.
And, of course, who walks out? But Lori Greiner.
Yeah. Okay.
And now her dad, her parents are in magic. Well, her dad is.
Her dad likes magic.
Likes magic.
He goes to the magic castle
yeah.
a lot.
Oh. So she really, really enjoyed the act. I mean, mm-hmm. They all enjoyed the act, but she was our fan.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. She was there in the parking lot. I don't know what she's doing in her camp or something. But then she came out and she was going back on set. She ran into us. We were in street clothes. At first she didn't recognize it, but she's like, "Oh my God, you guys are the magic guys!" And she's came over. And she talked to us for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And really, it was wonderful. A lot came out of that. We are still in contact with Lori.
Nice.
She is safe to say, a fan. She's going to come to our show.
Oh, nice.
She's going to help push us. And it really is nice, Scott, because mm-hmm. it brought some humanity to it. And it made us feel just... good about what we just did. You know, any kind of negativity that was there went away. And she said, and I can even quote this, it's like, she said, "I would bring my family, I bring my kids, I bring my parents. You guys are such a great family show. You guys should tour, you should travel the U.S., you know." And then, of course, she said what she said on air, which was, "Why go to Vegas where there's so much competition? You guys would eat up the markets around the U.S. with your show. It's so family-friendly, and you guys are amazing." So, you know, it actually got us thinking. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, God, should we start traveling again? But, you know, she really has been wonderful. And to have a support at that level for us, it's been great, you know?
But to me, I can't see any of the sharks that what you were asking for to be in their wheelhouse. You know, they're right. involved in different kinds of yeah. things, whether it's going to be tech or, yeah. or food or the channel that Lori's on,
yeah.
right. home shopping or whatever, yeah. that it's not, I mean, you're looking for an angel, yeah, you know, someone right. saying, hey, write a big check, what yeah. you got, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't know how to produce a show. Yeah. I mean, you're just looking for an investor.
You're so right about that. And when, like Jared said, is when we were on there for the hour educating them mm-hmm. as to what the industry and how the industry operates in Las Vegas, they didn't know. They knew nothing. And they did not even know what a four-wall deal was, which was, for me, that was shocking. I thought,
and this is what the producers wanted. You know,
yeah,
they wanted that to educate not just the sharks, but also the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, you're absolutely
it's an interesting subject.
You're absolutely right. And I do think that's one of the reasons why they put us on the show, to shed light for America on how these shows in Las Vegas operate, what the business model is.
How they get funded.
Yeah, it's a unique business model,
yeah.
so certainly one that does not work, which is what we very, you know, definitely said on air. But that America doesn't know this, and many, many people we meet over the course since then have said they had no idea that you had to put your own money into it. You had to find investors to do this. Wow, how interesting. Everyone thinks that it's a days of you're being paid a fee
right.
booked by the hotel. It's like, oh, God, no, yeah. definitely not.
Yeah.
You know,
this is all on you. I mean, even Penn & Teller, it's their own theater. They're four-walling, you know.
Right. I mean, they had initially exactly. they started with a two, but then now they're mm-hmm. completely four because it actually works better for them.
Well, yeah,
you know?
Because they now have a name and a brand.
Exactly.
And so people are coming to see them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of guys at Penn & Teller and Siegfried and Roy, I cannot tell you, Scott, man, we talk about Penn & Teller and Siegfried and Roy, those two pairs, safe to say many times a week, because there are inspirations. There mm-hmm. are inspirations for, first of all, cutting out any BS, you know, in the industry, in just keeping your eye on the ball. We are doing this for magic. We're doing this for our art. We're doing this for our performance. And we want to just simply do the best we can at what we do. And always keeping your eyes set on that. And in the project we're in right now, it's all about that. You know, it's like this, it's a lot of work, let me tell you, being a producer, doing it all, and the marketing and the press and the talent, you know, hiring additional talent and
dancers and all that kind of a thing.
And music
costumes.
And we're doing all new music, you know, and we're creating it, you know. I'm creating the music with my music director, and it is a lot. It is a lot. And right now we're 36 days out. And,
it's coming together.
It's coming together. It mm-hmm. never comes together as fast as you want. But again, you know, seeing guys like Penn & Teller and Siegfried and Roy,
yeah,
for us is inspirational. And it really, they're our models. They're the guys that we mm-hmm. we just.
Do you sit and talk to them personally?
Yeah.
Do you and
Siegfried? Sure. We have in the past quite a bit of Siegfried. I don't know Roy as well, but Teller has been.
Yeah, Teller's just
so great.
Amazing.
Teller has
both on magic and in on the business end.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So, you know, and he's he's just
we run actually quite a bit past Teller. For example, even our America's Got Talent stuff, the Singing in the Rain thing we did, it didn't go over too well. We actually ran that past Teller. It was the Million Dollar Mystery, you know.
We did
yeah.
talk to
mm-hmm.
him?
Yeah, of course we did. Absolutely. He thought it was great.
Yeah.
The U.S. Grant Million Dollar
yeah,
Mystery.
Yeah, yeah. The shower
yes.
thing we did.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Like Psycho,
he thought it was great. He thought it was great, the whole thing. We ran it by him because we didn't know. We weren't sure on that one. We just weren't sure if we should do that. But, you know, stuff when we have dilemmas on or, you know, we just run it by him and...
And of course, Johnny Thompson.
And Johnny, of course,
always
yeah.
who's been with us. Gosh, ever since we've been here. I mean, you know, he's just such a great guy, and is just a wealth. I mean, he's the Godfather.
He's
the Godfather.
Yeah, that's right.
And we love him.
And Johnny, the great thing about Johnny, as you know, is he's so supportive of really everyone that he works with. You know, he tries to make it work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking for us, you know, we first started working with him in 2002 and 2003, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all these years we've over time and various projects been working with him and consulting with him, and he's just been amazing, you know. And Jared and him get along like
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the show that you're going to be doing, will it be
yes.
a lot different from what you have done on tour?
Yes. Well, I mean, the actual show, it's, well, first of all, at Hooters, what is actually happening is that there is an upstairs banquet room, and they are changing that into a showroom, and they're actually calling it the Jarrett and Rogers showroom, and building a stage, full stage up there, a lot of TV monitors and all that. And the show is different because we've got live musicians in the show. We've got a singer in the show as well, mixing, and Raja, of course, playing the pianos and all. But the other thing is it's a dinner show, which is great. And so it's going to incorporate the Hooters, you know,
hot wings.
Shrimp, you know, the whole thing, which is great. And it will be, what, the third dinner show in town? It's the only magic show with a dinner show. So,
as an aside, real quick, and then I'll let you back, that Hooters is where we go for Mother's Day.
Oh, is that right?
Is that right?
I'll tell you why. My younger son, Nick, had kind of an eating disorder all of his life, and so he likes French fries, so he liked their curly fries, and so when we go to a restaurant or something, you know, it was like croutons. He would eat croutons. He wouldn't even go to the salad bar. I mean, he'd eat an apple or whatever. So anyhow, just kind of picky as to what it was. I mean, he's all fine now. He's like 33, but no problem. But he said that, so we felt like, well, we need to go someplace, you know, where the kids can take their mother. And so when we went there, you know, to Hooters, that, like, aside from being a waitress, she's the only other woman, you know, who's coming in on Hooters for Mother's Day. I mean, everyone's going to the country club or the hotel or something, you know. And so they, you know, really honor her when she comes in. Here's some roses or whatever, you know, and get seated immediately. You don't have to make reservations. So, it's just kind of funny to say, you know, for Hooters, you know, my wife goes, and for Mother's Day, go to Hooters.
Right.
Well, you know, the guys there at the casino here, they would love nothing more than to hear that, because they really are trying to change the image of the hotel casino here and make it more family friendly, which is one of the reasons why they're bringing us in, you know. But we, obviously, as you know, are very much a family show, and our audience is families, and in fact, women really as well. So we will be definitely concentrating on pulling families in and emphasizing that the food's awesome. I mean, I like it. It's good. The wings, the shrimp, and all that, you know. And you get to have that before the show and then see magic, you know.
Now, when are you going to be doing this also? By four-walling it, you know, is it a possibility? I mean, you don't have a contract to be there for X number of years or months or whatever. I mean, that it's not going to be like the Band of Magicians, I guess. You know, they came in for 3 weeks or less or something. I mean, as good as the guys were individually, I mean, it's difficult for a variety of reasons may have closed. Sure. So there's no guarantee, I'm just saying. Is that correct? I mean, as far as that your show lasting for some period of time? I mean, you never know. I mean, everything's a gamble, I guess. You know, it's Vegas. It's a gamble.
Without getting into the details of the deal, I can tell you this much, though. It is not a four-wall, which we're very happy.
Okay, then.
We're very, very, very happy with that.
They've been great. Hooters has been amazing.
They've been very supportive. And, so it's not a four-wall, which is nice. And it gives the hotel incentive to make it work. It gives us incentive to make it work, which I said, like I said earlier in the interview, the four-wall business model in Las Vegas is horrible. It does not work. Mm-hmm. And I've said that blatantly to the sharks on Shark Tank, and I just feel that way passionately.
Yeah.
Now, with this current structure with Hooters, it can work. It's open-ended. There's no, like, term.
Okay.
And they want to make it a long-term. We want to make it long-term. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, it's a place to grow and to brand in Las Vegas, and hopefully not make too many mistakes.
It's a great location, I think, right there, too. It's in the middle of everything.
It is.
Across from MGM.
It's right on there, and right across from MGM, and David is looking right down at us.
Your ticket price is right about it in line.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And, but yeah, you're right. It's right at Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard. It's a 7:30 show.
Matinees for the kids or like weekends or
no? Anything? Right now it's an evening show.
Where's 7:30 dinner show? In? Where's 7:30 coming in from?
Seven
o'clock show.
7 o'clock.
FYI, did you get the memo?
Do you know how many times you've said 7:30?
You
don't even know what it is.
You're imagining that it's 7 p.m.
You said 6:30. Open the door and 7:30.
You're making
show.
6:30 is the dinner.
So they're eating
7
dinner.
7 p.m.
You are so wrong. That's not what you've been saying.
Okay, let's call Hooters right now. Guys, when's our show again? Because we're under the impression it's at 7. Anyhow.
I'll be there.
Will they be eating dinner during the show?
No.
Okay.
No. There won't be clinking of the china.
That's what I was wondering.
But yes.
It'll be. But it's in the same room.
It's all in the same room. Of course, yeah. That's correct. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So
we'll walk on stage smelling a lot of wings.
I was going to say, yeah, you will. All of your props, all your equipment, your clothing before long.
Better than smoke.
Vinegar. Well, you got that right. That's right.
I'm determined not to do a show hungry, because if I do a show hungry, it'll drive me nuts.
Yes.
Smelling all that during the show.
I know.
Give me a wing.
But you know, I have to say that the local community here in Las Vegas has been so supportive of us, you know, and likewise, obviously, us to them, and everyone from the press and just local community here,
yeah.
which is,
there's so many magicians, though, it'd be easy so for them many. To kind of push you away, saying, you know, I don't want you to get a piece of my action, or I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but you're saying just the opposite. They're very supportive.
Exactly, very supportive. Mm-hmm. I mean,
very supportive.
Murray has been just unbelievably supportive.
Yeah, I love that man.
You know, he's
Doug
he's
Lefkowitz,
amazing.
His lefty, has been
exactly.
amazing.
Tommy Wynn is just
Tommy Wynn's been
right
so supportive.
Right behind us and all
I mean,
this.
Tommy's saying, guys, let's go to lunch, I'll give you marketing tips.
Yeah.
Free of charge.
You know, which is really great, you know, and I love that. And we're the same way, you know, anything that we can do.
I think it's one of the most expensive things would be to market it, certainly, because with as much competition as you have with other kinds of things, in other words, that it's not a magic show against another magic show necessarily, but it's a magic show against going and seeing this Top Chef, or to go and see this band is in town, or Aerosmith is playing over here, or you know, go to see Love or one of the mini Cirque shows or whatever. So
you're right.
And so when you're in this town, and I remember talking to Murray about this very thing, about how that outside of the city limits you're nobody, but within town it's like, I never heard of this guy, and all of a sudden it's like, I got to see him, because there's a billboard. Yeah. You know, on the cab back, and here's a brochure, and I'm walking down, you know, the strip, and somebody's handing me a 2-for-1 discount, and so, you know, all these kinds of things. Yeah. I would think that, unlike any other kind of marketing program, and my background was in advertising and journalism, and I think it's well more than 10% is being spent on a budget on marketing.
More than 50.
I was going to say,
in Vegas.
It's got to be more than 50. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, if you're Bayer Aspirin or whatever, I mean, you got all these other kinds of things, and, you know, advertising is a small percentage of that. But here, your major expense has to be your advertising.
It is.
Absolutely.
And it has to be constant, you know, because what have you done for me today? You're going to forget. Because you got new people kind of cycling all the time.
Exactly. And every show is so different that there's no actual complete formula. You know what I mean? Because every show, what works for one place is not going to work for the other.
That's
and you have to find that. And so you've got to have enough time to keep the show afloat.
That's a good point.
To find that point.
Yeah, because a hypnotist, it's this late night kind of an X-rated hypnotist versus a family show or like Matt King show
different
or whatever.
Marketing
different
strategy,
marketing.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really cool things about Hooters, too, is that they're really doing a big change in everything. And we're part of that change. They've just done a $20 million renovations of all the rooms. They have other entertainment in the other showroom downstairs that they brought in, Rock Fantasy, which is a really great Legends, you know,
type
show.
A tribute.
That's just opened up, doing great. They've got two more shows that are going in there. So they're really, they've got a new pool area. So we're part of all of that, you know, new development at Hooters, and I think that's really great, because it's giving the Hooters brand sort of a whole another direction. You know, that
it's interesting how they operate, though. The Hooters Casino is, I think there's licensed. Because there's no other casino, to my knowledge, Hooters Casino, in the country, I believe.
Like in Atlantic City or Bossier City.
So
or
they're
Shreveport.
Taking that brand name, putting on a hotel in Las Vegas, and corporate is allowing them to do that, of course. And then they have the Hooters Restaurant, which is the franchise, which is independent of the hotel, believe it or not.
Because somebody else owns that, actually.
Yeah, and that's actually inside the property. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting corporate setup, but at the end of the day, it's not a bad thing to be aligned with a national brand like Hooters, you know, which actually of all the hotels, if you really think about it, is the most well-known, because it's Hooters.
I mean, it's almost like McDonald's, McDonald's
in
Hotel and Casino kind of a thing. You know, I mean, people think, I mean, it has a, it's a branded, and it's the same, tastes the same whether you're in Boston or you're in San Francisco, you know, a Hooter Wing is going to taste the same, you know,
that's
the curly
exactly
fries are curly fries, you know.
So
to be associated with that, that people are coming here, and then subliminally, you know, if they're thinking of Jared and Raja, that this is, you know, being aligned with, yeah. with Hooters, that yeah. will come to mind then also. Said, oh, yeah. You know, you've got to go to Vegas and see this show. You yeah. know, then
exactly, yeah. right.
Do you think that you might be expanding to a matinee at some point? I mean, is that in your contract that or not? I mean, and I'm just saying that because, again, appealing more to the families, and they're going to be saying, hey, we're going to bring the kids here and we'll find a sitter for them at night. Yes, this is, you know.
Mm-hmm. The beauty of this, Scott, is it's our room. Right?
Sure.
It's yeah. literally
the
our room.
The Jarrett and Roger room. That's kind of
yeah.
cool.
It's yeah. really, really yeah. great, and we can do whatever we want. So if we want to add matinee shows, we yeah. can add matinee shows. If yeah. we want, you know, there's a lot of luxury in that. And mm-hmm. even if we wanted, our charity show Finding Magic that we do usually here in our warehouse where mm-hmm. we bring kids in, you know, that are at-risk kids,
yeah.
we now plan on doing those charity events in our room mm-hmm. there. Which is even nicer because it brings the kids in to Hooters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they get to have a fun meal, which is great. And these are at-risk kids, and there are a lot of sad stories, and they've never seen a magic show before, or for that matter, a show, period.
Sure.
You know, so it's absolutely wonderful that we can actually use a room to now do that as well as part of what we do.
To do some charity.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. And exactly. Hooters is, that's another thing. They've really stepped up.
They love charity work.
They're all into charity, local charity stuff here and everything. It's amazing if you look at their Facebook and stuff and what they do for those charities,
You know, I was talking with Murray about that a while back, and he was saying that his charity, I think it's called Children of the Night, and it was something I hadn't even thought about, you know, where they're exploiting children, yeah. you know. It's like, yeah. what? And then, when, you get into it, it's like, it's really kind of,
well,
it's horrible.
Thing,
you know?
Nevada is the third largest state with the most child
exploitation
and homeless kids.
It's the third
homeless
kids, or the most, or the number one.
I thought it's one of three.
What inspired us to start Finding Magic is Jarrett read a article in Las Vegas Magazine, I believe, and the article was about at-risk kids in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and what they said was actually Nevada, the state of Nevada, has the most, I guess, per capita at-risk kids in the country.
Okay.
Which was kind of alarming, you know, you don't really, you don't see it, but it's definitely a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and then when we started to reach out to some of these organizations like Olive Crest and so on, you saw it. My God, you saw it. And it's absolutely no brainer for a magic show to
just
bring
to
in
kids.
That's
true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Of course.
You know, the looks in their faces. Oh my God, it's just.
Yeah. I remember talking to Joni Spina then also yeah. about how yeah. the people will come to, she said that we had a feral cat problem.
Yes.
And the reason is because the people will come to Vegas and they'll have pets and then they don't make it and they leave and
yeah,
they just leave their animals.
Which you I know, can't, so that's just so crazy.
It is,
that.
You know, and it's, I don't think people leave their kids, you know, but I mean, you don't have like kids
same
necessarily.
Same thing with the housing boom when it crashed, you know, mm-hmm. they would leave the animals in the house and leave. How, yeah. I mean, how can, and many places we've talked to, we have a lot of realtor friends and they're like, they yeah. just can't believe that.
Yeah.
But yes, so Joni was right about that. I mean, that's a whole other thing. It's the,
yeah, yeah. You know, well, it sounds like that you really got together and everything's going to be coming together. I'm excited for you guys, and I'm anxious.
Thank you.
When we come back, next time I come back out, it's going to be for Magic Live. And,
good.
You'll be in full swing
yes.
by then, certainly,
yeah.
and have everything all down, all your time.
Who knows? If I get us to read into the future, I'm so curious myself as to how things are going
right.
to go. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is really the biggest mystery I will be experiencing. We just don't know how it's going to go. But we'll see.
It'll be an adventure, no doubt.
I'm going to wrap up here in just a moment, but you know, I'm going to post a picture of that check that's behind me. So tell me about the big checks.
Actually, the big check is in our pre-show video. So okay. when you come to the show, you'll see it in the video. It'll make total sense because it's a little story we have where I came to Las Vegas here, both of us from New York, and I go to the slot machines and I win the $5 million to put up my show and do everything. And Roger, of course, wins a dollar.
$1.79? I think it was $1.79.
So that's what the big check up there. And so I put it up here just to always look at it every day and have another goal to go towards.
It's our inspiration,
yes.
Scott. $5 million.
That reminds me about Jim Carrey, you know, the actor who had written a check to himself, I think, for $1 million. I may have this wrong, but it seems like that he had written himself a check and said that he wouldn't cash it until, obviously, he was... had made it, you know. Wow. And he went to his father's gravesite, I think, and was saying, "Hey, Dad, I can now go cash this check."
Oh, you know, kind really of a thing. Great.
And so, yeah, you need to have a goal and something you can look at every day. Like,
and
that.
I
that's
do.
A good idea.
It's big and it's up there, and it hasn't been signed yet. So, come on.
It will sometime soon.
Yes, it will.
All right, so the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. And of course, I always ask people as a wrap up, what is your magic word or phrase? What is it that inspires you? So
that's
it doesn't have to be a word.
Question.
It can be a sentence.
You know, right now, at this point in my life, I guess it would, for what we're doing, a challenge.
Okay.
Challenge. Right now, challenge is my, for me, Raja, is the inspiration, because this whole project we're entering is honestly the biggest challenge that I've ever had to deal with. But I love challenges, and I'm actually really excited by the challenge. You know, so excited by what you could make it.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. So it's kind of like keep challenging yourself, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, never stop challenging yourself, because and to accept that challenge of whatever it's going to be and move to the next one.
Even artistically with the show, with the music we're putting in the show, we're creating a fusion of classical themes and pop themes. And literally, it's a fusion. So we're actually... Mm-hmm. We're actually tracking the music, and we're making the music, and that itself is a challenge for me personally. I mean, I'm classically trained, and
which is a whole different direction we could have gone. I was going to talk
about
you being at Juilliard, you know, trained, because you're the musician, he's the magician,
exactly. So being a classical musician, of course, with the show, we don't play classical just strictly. We do other things as well, but as a musician, when I do concerts, it's classical repertoire. So this new thing we're doing is something I've always wanted to do, and therefore is a real huge challenge. But I'm so excited to start producing tracks with some really great MDs out there. And I think the music is going to be awesome, because you're coming from, you know, educated musicians that know how to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be new for the fabric of Las Vegas. It's not, you know, Cirque does a good job with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But certainly no magic show. You know, and that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. You know, at least in terms of magic shows, our music will, at least the music will be original.
And that'll be different from what you've done on the tour. You have done some things with music there, but this is going to be at a different level.
At a different level, yes. Mm-hmm. We've always mixed things
not
together.
Not decibel.
not decibel, right. But we've always mixed things to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be something that's going to be just, you know, this is the first time in the Jarrett and Rogers show, and it's going to be our sound and our, you know, it's going to have a sound. It's going to have one consistent sound for the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's not like this, not a motley thing, but it's going to be consistent. So yeah, challenge, mm-hmm. really. My word is challenge, man, right now.
Great.
Jarrett,
well, that was a long-winded answer.
Sorry.
it's
a loaded word. What do you can say?
That's right. You're good.
Well, actually, mine's not a challenge. But it's closely related to what you were saying towards the end. Actually, for me, it's teamwork. Mm-hmm. For me, it truly is the teamwork. Yes. And it's the teamwork of Raja and myself as a magician and a pianist. And how the concept started, how it started, and where it's going, and... how to keep that keep the motivation going. The inspiration comes from that. I mean, to be able to really push at something, and believe me, we have fallen so many times, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. And yet, Roger gave me a card once that said, never, ever, 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 ever give up. And of course, that's another thing I have up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that's true. And when you have something that's your own, that is original, and you just want to make something of it, how exciting is that? You know, that's inspiring.
But also our team, our people we work with.
That too. But that's the teamwork.
It's not just each other, but
it's
the whole team.
It's the whole team.
Yeah, like you were talking about the people who help you with your marketing and your business.
Absolutely.
And your accountants and
people we work with, our directors and our people.
And Jill.
That's right.
Our TD, Gary Wong. Our stage manager, Pualani Wong. I mean...
How many people are going to be on the...
Jesse.
On your credits, you know, like on the...
On stage, we're going to have five.
Yeah.
And off stage, we have two right now, maybe three. But... really, like, really great people and really good energy. As you know, when you're on stage, it's got to be good energy. It can't be anything negative.
It's got to be fresh every show.
It's
got
to be fresh. It's got to feel
exactly.
good. Everyone's got to be excited to do it. You know, you can't have any naysayers.
Mailed in.
Yeah, exactly. So that's as far as team, you're so right.
Everybody is part of that team. I mean, even you in this moment, Scott, you're part of the team.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It's true. Everything is linked to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, is... that's inspiring.
Yeah. Connections to teamwork.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Awesome. Well, sounds like The Magician.
That's my ringtone.
Apropos.
Right on time.
Perfect timing. All righty. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you very much, Jared. Thank you, Roger, for being my guest over here.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. On the Magic Word Podcast. So until later, this is Scotty out.
Well, that was a delightful conversation. I appreciate, Jarrett, you and Raja making your warehouse available and your time as well. It was good hearing some fun stories, and I wish you luck. I know that as this is being broadcast, that you've been playing there at Hooters Casino Hotel for about a month, and I'm looking forward to coming and seeing the show live myself sometime in the near future. Well, I think it's about time for me to announce the winners from last week's contest, but also I want to remind everybody, if you will just go to themagicwordpodcast.com, and there you will find towards the bottom of the blog the little form that you can fill in, put in your first and last name, your email address, and you can register then for a chance to win a copy of Nick Trost's Subtle Card Creations, Volume 4. We, again, have already given away two copies of Volume 2, and this week we're going to announce the winners of those from last week's contest who have won a copy of Volume 3. And so, again, if you go to this week's podcast, you can scroll down there towards the bottom and fill in the form and enter this week's contest. And so it goes into a spreadsheet, and there's a random generator that will allow for two names to be drawn to be the winners that will be announced in an upcoming podcast. So let's go ahead and announce the winners of last week's contest, and their names are Sean Rivera and Fred King. Congratulations, guys. I will get those books out to you straight away. And again, as a reminder for everybody to go ahead and please enter the contest. And let me say also that this is going to be including free shipping within the continental United States. So if you live in the U.S., then there is no additional cost for shipping of the books to your address. However, that if you reside outside the U.S., that there will be foreign postage charged. So as soon as that I will contact the winners and I get your address, if it is outside the U.S., I'll calculate the postage and let you know, and you can make a decision whether or not that you want to pay for the foreign shipping. And if not, then we'll just have another drawing for another name. But again, for if you live within the U.S., so that the postage is free, and so is the book. Compliments of H&R Magic Books. I don't want to forget those guys because they're the ones who are making this contest possible and providing us with the books, and also the ones who have done the publishing as well. So Charlie Randall has done just a great job of publishing that. Oh, and one other thing as far as shipping goes, the reason that it's being shipped for free domestically is thanks to donations from the Friends of the Magic Word. And I want to announce just a couple of other guys who have actually recently joined and had made a financial contribution. And I may have listed one or two of these names before, but I can never thank you guys enough. And the newest members include Rob Peffer, Phil Ackerley, and James Wade. Thank you guys for your financial patronage and your financial contributions help defray the costs associated with producing this podcast week after week and day after day when I'm at magic conventions. So I think it's about time to wrap up this week's podcast. And so until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember to challenge yourself and remember how important it is to use teamwork and never, ever, 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 ever give up. This is Scotty out.